Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer lady movies, more or less, and inclusively defined.
Yes. Maybe emphasis on the defined. Emphasis on the less. Just kidding. Yeah.
Queer movies, mostly lesbians. That's what we talk about.
Sometimes more.
Sometimes more.
Sometimes.
Sometimes less. Lesbians.
Is lesbians is moresbians.
Anyway, today we're talking about the 2015 film Addicted to Fresno, which stars Natasha Lyonne.
Oh yeah.
The most lesbian straight icon, the most straight lesbian icon there is.
It's crazy.
And Judy Greer.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's favorite person who plays lesbians in movies that should really have a bigger part, Aubrey Plaza, should be in the film more, just like in Happiest Season.
Accurate.
Which we did an episode on last year, so you can listen to that. We're not going to talk about that today. Maybe we will. I don't know. But we're here to talk about Addicted to Fresno.
Mostly.
Mostly. About
Addicted to Fresno.
More or lesbian.
More lesbian. oh my God, I love that. So what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were that I don't like this movie. I think there's too much going on in it. However, I do really enjoy Natasha Lyonne. And I really, really enjoy Natasha Lyonne and Aubrey Plaza and their dynamic and how they're both so funny, like individually. And I think together, they're also very funny. I'm not a huge fan of Judy Greer. I feel like there's something about her that rubs me the wrong way. I can't really articulate what it is, but I also don't like her character in this movie. So maybe that's why. Yeah. Well, I'll describe the plot. So
yes,
Martha, played by Natasha Lyonne, and Shannon, played by Judy Greer, are sisters. And Shannon has this sex addiction that she like keeps going to rehab for. And Martha is like an upstanding, like optimistic, bubbly, positive member of society who works at this hotel in Fresno. She takes her job very seriously. And she's kind of a delight. And
she's a delight.
Shannon comes to stay with her while she's sort of getting back on her feet, I guess, and starts to work at the hotel, and accidentally kills a guest after having sex with him. She's like very upset about this other guy, this married guy who she's been having sex with, who like wants to leave his wife for her. And that's like just the very beginning part. And then like a bunch of shit happens. So like they try to get rid of his body, but they like involve his family in like trying to cover. Well, they don't involve his family. They lie to his family, but they find his family, lie to them about what's happened in order for them to believe that he's just disappeared. He doesn't have a good relationship with his family. Then they take his body to a pet cemetery where Fred Armisen works, and his sister, whose name I forget. Also, that's not his name in the movie. Gerald.
I forget her name too.
Gerald and something. Ruby?
Yes, that is a character. I think that's her.
They have this pet cemetery where they cremate pets, and they like, the sisters try and convince them that Boris, the hotel guest who died, that his body is a dog body, which is hilarious. And they're like, this is not a dog body. This is a human body. And we need $25,000 from you in order to keep this a secret. So then they go on all these adventures on like trying to get the money, and they crash a bar mitzvah and like a girl's sports thing Well, what sports team was that?
Softball.
Softball. Oh, yeah.
I think it was even specifically like a lesbian softball tournament. That's right. Event.
And they like stole all these dildos and they were trying to sell them to the lesbians at the softball tournament thing. And they did, but then it like wasn't enough money. And then Kelly, who is Aubrey Plaza's character, is Martha's trainer at the gym. So there's lots of like body, they're attracted to each other's bodies at the gym.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of I guess focus on the body.
Mm-hmm. Not in a bad way necessarily. Anyway, so Kelly invites Martha to this bar mitzvah because like her client, that's also a creepy dynamic where like her client is
so weird.
So and like has this sexual thing for her. She invites Martha to the bar mitzvah as her date. And then they like hash this plan to steal all the bar mitzvah money. It's a lot of things. It's just a lot of things going on.
You're right. I didn't quite realize how fucked up and crazy, like how busy this movie was.
Very busy. That's a good word. Yeah.
Chaotic. Yeah. Chaotic evil. Neutral, chaotic. I don't know how it works. Clearly, I'm not a D&D.
I'm not a D&D person either. I do have a pin that says chaotic gay. Mm-hmm. I know chaotic good is a thing.
Yes.
And this pin, actually, I'm going to tell an embarrassing story about myself. I did not know that was a thing at all. I didn't know that in D&D there were like those 20-sided dice or whatever, and they had like different things like chaotic good, chaotic neutral, chaotic evil, neutral good or whatever. And I just saw this pin at Third Place Books, which is one of my favorite places.
Yes.
And it said chaotic gay. And I just thought, that's me. I'm a chaotic gay. And so I bought the pin. And had it on my bag. And I truly didn't know it was a D&D reference until I was standing in line. This was pre-COVID at the Columbia City Bakery.
Where we met.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Full circle. Full circle.
It's the circle of life.
Oh, my God. Wow. So I was standing in line there with my backpack that had my pin, my chaotic gay pin on it. And the person behind me was like, oh, do you play D&D? And I was like, what?
No, why?
They explained to me, and that was when I realized that it was a thing. Anyway,
that's not so embarrassing.
No, I guess not. Just that I was walking around with this very obvious D&D reference.
You're just like, no, I'm just
no idea. And I was like, no, I'm just
a chaotic gay person.
That's just who I am. It's my personality.
I'm a nerd and a chaotic gay. Yeah. I just don't play D&D.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that pin is still on my bag. Anyway,
as
that was a
be.
Big tangent. This movie was chaotic. Chaotic and marginally gay.
I really liked all the talent in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Hated Judy Greer's character. You're right there. She is
so annoying.
Super annoying. Yeah. And like dangerous.
Yeah.
I think she's a dangerous person to be around.
Really volatile.
Yeah, super volatile. But I loved I thought she like Judy Greer did a really good job playing this like despicable character. Mm-hmm. I don't know her from much. Like she looks familiar to me, but when I looked at her on, you know, Google and whatnot, I was like, I know of these movies, but not enough to really like, you know, pick her out. She's one of those people that's like been in lots of different movies that I've seen, but I don't quite know. But then, of course, there's Aubrey Plaza and Natasha Lyonne. Molly Shannon is in this as well. I love her. Yeah,
she has a lot too.
Yeah, she has like a bit part as Boris's sister, which nailed. She always nails every role she's in. I loved that. You know, everyone was such a great comedic like presence. Kumail Nanjiani is in this for a small part too.
I forgot about that.
Clea Duvall.
Oh yeah, she's always around, you know.
Whatever Natasha is, yeah, for the most part. It's funny when you were giving that characterization of Martha, it kind of made me think of her as like an older version of her "But I'm a Cheerleader" character.
Oh yeah.
Also,
this movie directed by Jamie Babbitt, who also directed "But I'm a Cheerleader."
Exactly. good one. So
I did research on this one.
Yes. we did a good. And it really was very similar, like similarly directed, I felt like. You could tell like this is a Jamie Babbitt film.
I agree. Although "But I'm a Cheerleader" is head and shoulders above this one, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's its problem. But
so yeah, I feel like I felt really bad for Martha because she really is like such a stand-up sister and stand-up person, really. There are some times where she's kind of a dick, but like she's actually not a dick.
All kind of a dick at some points.
Yeah. First of all, everyone's a dick. Yeah. Second of all, she had reason to be a dick. Like yeah. She had a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this whole, like, the gay part is this whole, like, kind of subplot between Martha and Kelly. Kelly really likes Martha. Martha's kind of blissfully unaware and is totally head over heels with a girl named Alicia. Don't want to brag.
it was you, though.
It was me the whole time, actually. It's the only movie. It's the only movie I've been in, and because I didn't have a speaking role, they just used my name. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's understandable why she's head over heels for you.
Yeah, I got a ripped six pack for that movie and then immediately dropped it.
Well, you're very charming and beautiful. And therefore Natasha Lyonne loves you.
Thank you, Natasha Lyonne. I appreciate it. And you're welcome. Anyway. I guess Alicia's sort of was her girlfriend, her ex-girlfriend, and now she just wants to play the field and does not really care about Martha anymore. But Martha is so head over heels with her. She's just like, she has kind of like blinders to Kelly.
Yeah.
Like everyone around her.
Yeah.
So I felt like the gay stuff in this movie, I think you said marginal was your word,
although at the same time, like, it wasn't, I appreciated how it was there and it felt natural and it wasn't commented on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish it was just a movie about Kelly and Martha and like none of that other shit. That would have been great.
Yeah I mean I
would watch that spinoff.
Yeah, mostly this is a story about sisters, and you kind of get that in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Judy Greer's character, Shannon, says essentially something like, this is a movie about sisters who, I forget what it was, like drag each other or something like that, or kind of like weigh each other down. But it's really just about one sister weighing the other one down.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, I do feel for Shannon a little bit, and I'm glad she does the right thing in the end.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert, the reason why this movie is so freaking chaotic is because Shannon won't go to the police and turn herself in and be like, it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's a white lady, so she'd be fine.
Yeah. So she, at the end of the movie, she does turn herself in. And she's like, hey, I accidentally killed someone. And she, you know, tells the police everything, and she's in prison. So, like, that's good. But basically everything else about Shannon I hate.
Yeah.
She treats everyone around her so terribly.
Yeah. And I love a good sister story, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, I truly do love stories about sisters, but I just really... really didn't like Shannon, and I didn't like a lot of the dynamic between them, even though, like, I don't know, Natasha Lyonne carried this a lot, I think. And there were times when they were being sisters that, and like sort of in a sweet way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, yeah. I don't know.
I do agree. I love like a sister story, sisterhood story, if they're not, you know, biological siblings or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you could tell that, I don't know, it's like the plot just didn't want Shannon to turn herself in or something. I don't quite know. I don't have my head wrapped around it fully.
Yeah.
But
it comes back to the fact that there was just too much going on in the plot.
That's like, true.
It could have been less plot heavy.
Mm-hmm. I did like that it was a, you know, a very complicated relationship and quite one-sided. I thought that was nice to see in a film, you know, but you of course feel for Natasha Lyonne's character, Martha. But yes, you're right. It's when it comes to the gay stuff, the mouth stuff, it's not soups gay. Mm. Very light on the gay. There's a couple kisses, some butt touching.
Mm-hmm.
but other than that, not much. And even like, I don't love Kelly and Martha together. I'll say it now.
Maybe you're right. I think what I like about them is just that I like the actors who are playing them.
For sure.
And not so much the characters themselves.
Like, I'm really happy Martha ends up with Kelly and it all works out so she can have happiness and, you know, move on with her life and move on from Alicia, things like that. But I don't love Kelly. I think Kelly's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, and I understand.
Martha was good at that. She's good at like doing the jerk, but funny.
Yes, for sure. She's still super funny.
Yeah.
But part of me is like going back and forth because it's like, if I were put in Kelly's shoes, yeah, I might be like, I would do the same thing. She has this like awesome speech where she's like, basically, I'm a catch. What the fuck is wrong with you? And I really like you. Like, am I not being clear? Am I being too clear with you? Like, what's going on? I love that she like lays it all out there. But at the same time, you know, she doesn't know the whole story, but it's also Natasha Lyonne's character. Martha is not telling her anything. She's not communicating. So it's like, what is Kelly supposed to think? So like, I go back and forth between like, is Kelly, you know, would they be, you know, happily ever after or whatever?
Mm.
I don't know. But that's, I guess that's not the scope of the story. So
no,
I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, the scope's a little all over the place.
It's a little cray-cray.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right, though. Like, when you were saying that, that Martha just isn't communicating, it just made me think, like, so many problems can be solved if people just communicated. Just, yep. Like, in general, in life.
Yeah.
And in films, and in all iterations of, like, art and reality.
Yeah, I think if she was kind of like, hey, my sister's, like, acting cray-cray, yeah. And I'm in some really deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to give me like a week or something like that. And then I'll come back to this. I mean, still, maybe Kelly would have been like, fuck this and fuck you. But I don't know. Because she also says, like, if you say anything about your sister or whatever one more time, we're done here.
Yeah.
Which is really good boundary setting. She's like, I can't hear about it anymore. I don't know, but it's nice that Kelly knows what she wants.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Communication is key. Mm-hmm. I wish she would have just said something similar to like, my sister is really putting me through the ringer right now.
Mm-hmm.
But made her do it.
Yeah. There's a New York Times review that I read. It's a really short review. And it just, the first sentence is, Addicted to Fresno is one of those comedies that seem not to care whether you laugh. Parts of it seem openly hostile to the idea.
Ooh.
Which, like, did you laugh a lot when you were watching this?
I don't think I laughed out loud very much.
I for sure did not.
But it's funny because right before we started recording this, I said that this movie was so funny.
Yeah.
And I do think parts of it are funny, but I think it's really just me thinking that I liked all the actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was actually textbook funny.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it was definitely dark.
Yeah, I'm like, it's really dark. It's like a dark comedy, right?
Yeah. Or that's what it's billed as.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I think the comedy comes mostly like from a place of like, to go back to the chaos, like it seems like the chaos was maybe supposed to be funny, but I didn't think it was funny really. I just thought it was like kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, what is it called? It's like a trope when it's like something of circumstances. But basically like lots of mishaps basically, and that's what drives the plot. I think it was supposed to be similar to that. I don't know.
Yeah.
This movie also seemed like, I was shocked that it was 2015. It seems like maybe 2005.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. The humor seems more dated than I would think it should be for 2015, but I mean, then again, 2015 was 6 years ago, but still, like, I don't know.
And I feel like I didn't really hear about this film, so I'm kind of like, I mean, like, I had heard that it was a gay film when we were creating this podcast, and in the early days in the planning, I wrote it down on the list. Of movies that were queer movies, but it's, I don't know. Just something about it seems like it should be older than it is.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because Fresno's in the past. I don't know, but
yeah, maybe it's like the costumes or something.
But yeah, just a lot of it was a little like cringy.
Cringy. Yep. Definitely a lot of cringe happening.
It was more like I enjoyed it in a Schadenfreude kind of way.
You're just, I like, hate Schadenfreude. I don't know. So like,
well, it's mean, right?
Yeah, it's mean. And just like real secondhand embarrassment for everyone involved.
For sure. And then of course I did feel bad for like Eric, who ends up being kind of like a love interest for Shannon's character. I felt bad for him. He was treated like garbage.
That's true.
You know, it's kind of like in the, like Hurricane Shannon, just like everyone in her path got like totally annihilated.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true.
The quote was, this is a story about siblings who sink each other.
Oh yeah, I thought you said drag each other.
Drag, like they put on a roast for each other. It's hilarious.
That's part of being a sibling sometimes.
Oh yeah,
dragging your sibling,
a nice delightful drag.
Yeah
for sure.
Delightful drag. Just a lighthearted drag.
I think probably the gayest part of this movie was when they, they're at the lesbian softball tournament celebration thing, and the party in the hotel, and they just held up a sex shop run by Clea DuVall, and they don't have Clea DuVall's business doesn't have a lot of cash. So she gives them a bunch of dildos. Mm-hmm. So they go and try to make money with all the lesbians. And the gayest part is when they say, lesbians are poor. They always are. And they always will be. Because they only make $400, which I feel like is a lot of money for a bunch of dildos. But I was like, that is accurate in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Not exactly poor, I would say, but I'm certainly not doing as well as like a dude.
Yeah. I feel like the gays, as in the gay men, the white gay men, white cis gay men, they, like, especially in Seattle, I just feel like there's a lot of them that are wealthy. Like, they live in those mansions on Capitol Hill. You walk by there and you see, like, the pride flags. I don't know. It feels dumb.
Well, I think it's partially because of, I mean, we're such a, Seattle is such a tech-centric location. And true. So many, you know, tech is such a male-dominated field, cis male-dominated field. Yeah, that it's, I don't know, the women usually go into more like, you know, different professions. That's definitely changing.
Yeah.
As it should. Mm-hmm. As should the reverse. You know, we could use some more like male elementary school teachers, like things like that. But yeah, there's a huge gap. And there's a reason why that's part of the reason why there's so many lesbian bars that are dying.
Yeah.
Where we went from 200 in the 80s to 20 today, I think.
Really? There's only 20 in the whole country?
Whoa. Something like that. Something crazy low.
Have never been to the Rose in Seattle.
Super divey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really a bar person, so.
Yeah, I definitely get it. Yeah. They do have some food.
Really selling me.
Never eaten it.
Never eaten it.
If you know what it tastes like, come at us.
Oh my god.
On any of our socials or the emails.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is sad to still think of, but that I think that was the only time I really laughed out loud was that line. I was like, that's too accurate. Yeah, I don't know if I would quite recommend this film to people, I guess.
To anyone. For like a, you know, like a good queer movie, I wouldn't.
Yeah, if you're looking for something chaotic, sure.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for like a love story, no.
Nah.
If you're looking for a sister story, sure.
Only if you want to be like, if you don't want to love the sister story. Well, I don't know.
If you want a dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional, yeah.
Yeah, dysfunctional sisters.
If you want that, yes. Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like outdated humor, I would say.
Yeah, they have weird conversations about sexual violence in this film that are really red flaggy. Yeah. there are definitely some issues there, and that was the main piece that I was like, wait, this is 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like early 2000s to me.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know what the writer had in mind here.
Yeah. I would say just find some clips on YouTube if you want to see Natasha Lyonne and Aubrey Plaza together.
Being gay as usual.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
And then skip the movie. I think I have not looked, and I should, but I probably won't. for like, you know, you know those fan videos where they like edit things together to make it look that didn't happen. I'm sure someone's done that for this. Like, or I don't know, like made a like a video just about the two of them.
Yeah, sometimes those are better. That's basically how it's basically how I got through my late teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
Or those YouTube videos.
Oh my God, yeah. I have a whole playlist, but it's private.
The not shame. A public playlist. The shame.
Playlist of all the couples, all the couplings.
Oh, so cute. I think I was trying to find one like in the past like year or so that I was like, oh my God, I love this one. I think it was from like Tipping the Velvet.
Oh.
To like, oh my God, what's that song? I can't sing it because it would be copyright, but it's a Goo Goo Dolls song.
Oh. Oh, I just got.
And I don't want the world to see me because I don't think.
Oh my God.
That song.
Okay. Yeah. You got to check this video because.
Holy shit. Yeah. I think I looked for it and it wasn't there and I was so upset. And I was like, all these people grew up and deleted their YouTube profiles.
How dare they?
I'm so upset. I just looked up the Addicted to Fresno Rotten Tomatoes and it has a 32% rating.
Yeah.
Shit.
I think, is that the audience one? The critics one is about the same, I think.
I think so. Yeah. So it says the movie is a barrel of laughs and the cast is chock full of comedy royalty. Not a barrel of laughs. Chock full of comic royalty, yes. Yeah. But still rough.
Agree.
I don't think I'd watch it again. In fact, I was watching it and I was like, have we done this for the podcast before? And I couldn't remember. So I went through all of our episodes and we hadn't.
Nope.
But that means at some point in my life, I turned this movie on and turned it off. So...
And that tells you something.
There you have it. Or I fell asleep. There you have it. Narcoleptic or not interested. That should be on a t-shirt.
Oh God, yes. Oh, add it to the list. We have a lot of t-shirts now. We didn't actually keep a list, and so I don't know what's on the list.
It's seems like my we head.
Come up with a slogan every week or whatever, every month. How often do we do these?
Oh, it's every week for me. I just talk to myself. Yes. Our monthly barrel of laughs. Anyway.
Royalty.
We are chock full of comic royalty. So if you or anyone you love lives in Fresno, please email us.
I know someone whose sister lives in Fresno.
I also know someone who lives in Fresno.
Okay.
That's crazy.
We should get in touch with them and ask them about this movie.
Also, one of the funny parts that I didn't laugh out loud, but I was like, oh my God, no, was the very end when the credits are rolling and the teenager, the boy from the bar mitzvah, is rapping his raps.
Oh, I forgot.
And he talks.
It's so bad.
But he talks about how there's nothing but like desert and poverty in Fresno. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst. But it's supposed to be the worst song. Anyway, so if you or anyone you know needs a Fresno support group because they are addicted to Fresno. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I hit an all-time low. Okay. You can email us. Whatever. You can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Tweet us at galpalswatch.
Tweet. Or Grammity Gram Gram at galpalswatch.
It's nighttime.
And
I was just drinking something.
Had a beverage of the alcoholic variety. I'm addicted to Fresno. That's the drink. Just kidding. It's a Manhattan. With extra cherries.
I read that they were supposed to set this in Cleveland and it was like written as part of Okay. I think I am not drinking anything. I also have not had any substances, but I'm still in a goofy mood. So anyway.
If you or anyone you know is addicted to Cleveland, please Please get in touch with us at, yeah. Just kidding, I already said them.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Well.
I hope you stay gay.
Yeah, stay marginally gay.